I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. In A.D. 56, the Apostle Paul visited Corinth for the third time, and at that time Paul wrote a letter to the Romans. He'd never been to Rome, but he knew of some of the believers in Rome, and he desired to go to Rome and preach the gospel there also. He viewed Rome as a stopping off point for his proposed journey to Spain. In this message, we wish to continue our study of the introduction of Romans as we consider the occasion of Paul's writing this epistle to the Romans. In verses 8 through 10, we see that Paul desired to come to Rome. We read there, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." First may mean in the first place, or in the sense of to begin with. Or it may mean in the first place in the sense of above all or especially. It's used in both ways, depends on the context. This context happens to allow for either. As translated, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world indicates what Paul is thanking God for. He's thanking them, according to this translation, for the fact of their salvation. There's another possibility, however, and it's the same Greek word. It's the word that is translated "that," but it's also commonly translated "because." If understood in this sense, it would mean because your faith is being spoken of or spoken about, or because your faith is being proclaimed, is being reported, or is being talked about throughout the whole world, thus indicating the reason Paul is thanking God. Is it because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, which was undoubtedly true, or that your faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world? How about both? You can take your pick. Both are very appropriate. The Roman believers had a good reputation throughout the then known world. Faith may also be understood in two different senses. It may be understood in the sense of your faith, meaning your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and referring to their salvation. But it may instead be used in the sense of your faithfulness, your dependability, you're reliable to Jesus Christ. Both understandings were undoubtedly true. They did have faith in Christ, and they were faithful to him as a result. Both their faithfulness and their faith were true. They had been genuinely saved, and as a result, their lives had been changed forever and demonstrated their salvation. Is the way we are living demonstrating the fact that we are saved? It certainly needs to be, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So consider your own life. Have you received Christ as your personal Savior from sin and its consequences? I certainly hope you have. So if you have, you have faith in Christ. As a result, are you seeking to live for him? I certainly hope you are. As a believer, you are faithful, trustworthy, or dependable. Either way, the Roman believers had a good testimony, which was well known and widespread. We're so thankful that he saved us. We're also so thankful that he's given us the opportunity to live for him and therefore be faithful. For God, I'm in verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. God is my witness. No one but God could know Paul's inner desires. If you could ask God, he could tell you that what Paul is writing is true. Whom I serve is the same term that we've seen previously in Romans 12:1, which is your reasonable service. It implies your worship or your religious service. Whom is referring to God the Father. The tense of whom I serve indicates ongoing action, and it's understood in the sense whom I am serving. How is he serving God? With my spirit, which implies that it's an internal worship or service that Paul is rendering to God rather than some external service. It means that he's not merely going through the motions of some external ritual. He's serving God with his whole heart. And he's serving him in the gospel of his Son, where he is again refers to God the Father, and it means in the good news about his Son. It means in God's ministry as an apostle, as he is proclaiming the gospel message to the Gentiles. Are we serving the Lord with all of our hearts? Something we need to be doing. And if you are not yet doing that, it'd be a good idea to start, wouldn't it? Of course it would. Before you get so old, you can't do anything anymore. I know none of you in here are like that. Those are people in other churches, but not here, all right? That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. It introduces the subject about which God is called upon as Paul's witness. This subject or this request extends through verse 10. Without ceasing, unceasingly, constantly, always, I make mention of you. I am making mention of you. I am remembering you, Roman believers, always, continually or repeatedly in my prayers. Suggests that every time Paul prays, it is his habit or custom to remember the Roman believers. And we would ask that as you go through life and you're praying, please remember this church and the people in it. You can also remember me if you'd like. That wouldn't hurt my feelings any. You ask the Lord to meet my needs, and he's done a great job of that for a long, 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 long time. Romans chapter 1 and verse 10 says, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Making request seems to be meaning asking pleadingly, if by any means, if perhaps, or if somehow, now at length, meaning now at last, I might have a prosperous journey, suggests I might be prospered by the will of God. Paul was concerned about being in the will of God. Are we concerned about being and living in the will of God for our lives? We need to be, as you know. Remember that as we study the Bible and put it into practice in our lives, we are in the will of God. This is the point of Romans 12:1-2, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, or well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the way we rationally worship God. And then he says, be not conformed, or stop being conformed to this world. As unsaved people, we got saved. We were already conformed to the world, but we're not supposed to continue being that way. Rather, be ye transformed. And its tense indicates that this is an ongoing thing for the rest of your life. Be in the process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be reprogramming our thinking. What the world thinks and what we are supposed to be thinking are not necessarily to be equated, as you well know. That you may prove, that you might demonstrate, having put it to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By constantly transforming the thinking, the way we're thinking, by the study of the Word of God, God will bring us into conformity to the mind of Christ. And of course, that means in conformity to the way he wants us to be. In other words, it is God's will for us that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know, sometimes people want to know what God's will is for them. Well, I've just told you what God's will is for you, okay? Don't worry about what he wants you to do. Be concerned about what he wants you to be. And when you are what he wants you to be, his will for what you are to do will be clear to you. He'll make it clear. He's perfectly capable of making it clear to you, but you need to take that step of transforming the way you think by studying the Word of God. To come unto you, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, to come unto you in Rome. Paul was seeking God's direction in coming to Rome, where he would exercise his apostolic gift among the Roman believers and also among the unsaved people living in Rome, as he had done elsewhere. Eventually, Paul would get to Rome, but it wasn't going to be how he was expecting to get there. It was not God's will for Paul to come at this time to Rome, or to come in this way. Paul's prayer would be answered, but not in the way he expected. But remember something. Remember, whatever you're going through, the same thing. According to Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. You mean that trial I just entered, or just got finished with, or I'm about to start tomorrow? As for God, his way is perfect. That's pretty good. That's better than we are, isn't it? His way is perfect in everything. Learn to trust him. What you're going through right now in your life, I don't know what it is. I don't have to know. What I go through, you don't know what it is. And you don't have to know. Some of you know a little bit about me, so you've got some ideas. You might be right. You might be wrong. It doesn't matter. As for God, his way is perfect. In my life, in your life, in all of our lives, God is in control, and he knows what he's doing. He doesn't make any mistakes. We make plenty. But we can count on God not to make any. We don't always understand what he's doing or why. And we don't have to. Don't worry about not understanding what God is doing. He's got it under control. Trust him. It's easier said than done, by the way, isn't it? Yes, it is, especially when things don't seem to be what we would have expected. We simply need to trust him and remember, as for God, his way is perfect. In verse 11, we see that Paul desired to strengthen the believers at Rome. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. 4 introduces the reason Paul wants so badly to come to Rome. It's understood in the sense of because. I long to see you. I greatly desire to see you. Now, he's never been there before. He did know some of those people, and he knew about some of them, but there were lots of them he'd never heard of. I have a strong desire to see you, or I yearn to see you. Now, that may introduce Paul's purpose in coming to Rome and be understood in the sense of in order that. Or it may be intended to introduce Paul's intended result and be understood in the sense of so that. It's hard to distinguish between God's purpose and God's intended result. We don't have to. So we translated that, and it can go either way. That's what's happened here. I may give a part unto you some spiritual gift. Now, that's probably not what you're expecting that he meant by that. It was not to lay his hands on them with the result that they would receive some spiritual gift that they might use in serving the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. Instead, it was to use his spiritual gift or gifts as an apostle in order to strengthen them spiritually. Notice that next phrase. That tells you why this is the right way to understand it. To the end that ye may be established, in order that, or so that, you may be strengthened or fixed firmly in your spiritual lives. Here this morning, in the same way, it's my desire to come to your church at this time in order to exercise my gift as a pastor teacher, to help any of you in this church who are still unsaved to understand the gospel and to be saved, and also to help all of you who are already saved to grow and mature in your spiritual lives through a proper understanding of what the Bible is saying. It's my desire to take people, you or people anywhere, and this would be a good idea for you to practice as a church. Take people where they are. They're not yet what God wants them to be, but take them where they are. Treat them well. Take them where they are and work with them to get them to be moving in the direction of what God wants them to be. They are what they are. They're not what God wants them to become. So work with them. Don't give people a hard time because they act like sinners. They are sinners. What do you expect? Their language isn't what you use. You might not even understand some of it. I've heard language, I have no idea what they were talking about, but it didn't sound good to me. I'm thankful I didn't learn those terms. God protected me in a lot of ways. But take them where they are. Work with them. Encourage them to go on in the things that they need to go on. Try to work with them to help them see their need for salvation. And when they are saved, try to get them to help them see their need for studying the Bible and living according to it. That's all I've ever done as a pastor. Take people where they are. Work with them. Treat them all well, kindly, with respect. Do they always treat you with respect? Oh, yes, I've always been treated with respect and dignity. Yeah, and if you believe that, you shouldn't, all right? No, Jesus wasn't always treated with kindness either. He got over it really quickly. He came to save the lost. He came to help those who trusted in him. We need to do that same thing. You don't need to beat him up. Let God do that for you. He does a good job. He knows just how to get to that person the right way. Verse 12, we see that Paul desired a mutual encouragement between himself and the Roman believers. He wasn't wanting to come there so that he could beat them up spiritually. Verse 12 says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Did you know that people do get discouraged from time to time? Some people get discouraged more frequently than others. Depends what you're going through. Depends on your makeup. Preachers sometimes get discouraged too. I'm thankful I haven't been discouraged very often in my whole life. I might have a bigger problem with anger or hostility than I do with being discouraged. But it is what it is. We're not all alike, and we don't all have to be alike. We just need to be godly, genuinely saved, and living for the Lord. The ministry can be very discouraging at times. Remember, however, that both the people and the preachers should be blessings to each other. Paul knew that if he would come and use his spiritual gifts among the Romans, there would be a mutual comfort or encouragement. The people would be a blessing to him, and of course he would be a blessing to them. Even apostles may have needed encouragement on occasion. It is a blessing to the man of God to see fellow believers blessed through God's using him, and it encourages him to go on in his work and to be faithful on other occasions as well. In the same way, it's a blessing for believers to have a man of God serving with them, regardless of which man of God it is, as long as he really is a man of God. They see his life. They see his dedication. And it's an encouragement to them to want to live for the Lord and to be dedicated to the Lord just as he is. Something you may not realize is that my being here and teaching you biblical truths is a real blessing to me. The fact is that I need this privilege of being here and teaching you some things from the Bible just as much as you may need it. You people are a real blessing and encouragement to me, and I desire to be a real blessing and encouragement to you as well. Notice this phrase, by the mutual faith both of you and me, means through or by means of their mutual faith. Paul's faith would encourage the Roman believers, and their faith would encourage him. I find your faith and love for the Lord encouraging, and I trust that you will also find my faith and love for the Lord encouraging. As we move into verses 13 through 15, we see that Paul desired more fruit among the Gentiles. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul tells the Roman believers that he does not want them to be ignorant, and that he had frequently intended to come to them. However, at the time he was writing Romans, God had not yet seen fit in his will to send the apostle to Rome. As for God, his way is perfect. It wasn't God's will for him to go to Rome yet. Now, I'm going to do something I don't very often do, and that's get out of context and do a little, just a little funny stuff here, okay? It won't turn out to be quite as funny as it sounds. Notice that term, ignorant brethren. Permit me to have a little fun with these words and take them out of their context for a good reason. Did you know that the fastest growing church denomination in our country is the Church of the Ignorant Brethren? So why are the brethren so ignorant? I'm going to give you three reasons. There might be a dozen more, but I'll just limit myself to having fun with three of them. One reason is that pastors are not feeding their sheep by teaching the Bible to them. I can't understand why. I've never been anything but a Bible preacher. Why would I want to preach something else? Many pastors have become nothing more than entertainers. I'm not much of an entertainer. As an entertainer, I get an F for a grade. And storytellers. I'm not a storyteller either. I don't give story upon story upon story so that my messages are skyscraper sermons. And as a result, these pastors are neglecting their biblical responsibility to feed the flock by teaching them the Bible in words the people can understand. If I'm not on your level in my speaking, I'm not doing my job right. Okay? Oh yeah, I got a bunch of education. I know all the highfalutin terms. I hope that doesn't impress you a whole lot. It would be depressing. I've heard preachers like that. I wonder when they get done. Wonder what he was talking about. Have you ever done that? Probably. Another reason, a second reason the brethren are so ignorant, is that even in churches where the Bible is being faithfully and accurately taught, some people aren't listening. Can you imagine coming to church to catch up on your rest? I don't like getting sleepy in church. Do you? No, but sometimes it happens. But sometimes it's the same people that sit in the same places every week, week after week after week after week. They're going through the motions of being there, but if they're not sleeping, they're occupying their minds with other things. Maybe trying to balance their checkbook or something, having trouble with it. Good, I hope they have trouble balancing their checkbook if they're not listening to the preaching. I shouldn't be so negative, I'm sorry. They're occupying their minds with other things or paying no attention to what is being said. There's a third reason. So many of the brethren are ignorant is that they're not studying their Bibles on their own. Don't be a part of the Church of the Ignorant Brethren. Don't be ignorant, brethren. Now let's get back to our text. I've had enough of a side trip here. I'm sorry, that's something I just couldn't help myself with. What Paul wants the Roman believers is to know that oftentimes, meaning often, repeatedly, frequently, or many times, I purposed, I planned, or I intended to come to you. But you can tell that statement's going to have a but in there, can't you? But was let hitherto. We don't use that term let in this sense in today's English. It means I was hindered or I was prevented hitherto until now. or thus far. Now ask yourself a question. Who allowed Paul to be hindered? Or who prevented Paul from coming to the Roman believers? Well, you've got that figured out already, don't you? It was God who hindered or prevented Paul from coming to Rome. Why? Because it wasn't God's will for Paul to come to Rome yet. Yes, he wanted to come. He desired to come. He even wrote and told them about wanting to come. But God says, hold on there, Paul. Not right now. Remember, as for God, his way is perfect. And it was perfect at this time in Paul's life, in this situation also. God was not thwarted. He cannot be thwarted. Learn something from this. Although you or I may have a desire to do something, it may not be God's will for you or for me to do it, at least to do it at this time. Remember, Moses wanted to deliver the Israelites 40 years before God allowed it. He thought all he had to do was show up one day and take care of one Egyptian that was giving one of his Israelite friends or acquaintances a hard time. God said, not right now. God may want you to do it eventually, but not right now. Or he might want you to do it in a different way than you're thinking. Meanwhile, God has a better idea for us. Remember, as for God, his way is perfect. What are you going through in your life? What is God allowing you to go through? What is God directing you to go through? As for God, his way is perfect. So be thankful. The reason Paul had often purposed to come to Rome is that in order that, or for the purpose that, or so that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now, fruit may imply that Paul wanted to lead some additional people in Rome to Christ so that they would be new converts, but more likely means that he desired to strengthen the Roman believers in their Christian faith as he had done elsewhere with other Gentile converts. He goes on in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I am debtor implies that as an apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was under obligation to all Gentiles to proclaim the gospel message to them. Similarly, we as believers are under obligation to share the gospel with people where we are. How are we doing with our obligation? And the answer that I'm going to give you is probably not as well as we'd like to. Just a simple invitation to friends, to neighbors, to co-workers, to visit the Calvary Baptist Church or to listen to the services on the website might help. Perhaps a tract would be appropriate. Greeks means persons of Greek language and culture, whereas barbarians means foreigners, people who do not speak Greek or non-Greeks. They were not necessarily savages or cavemen, okay? We use barbarian in a different sense than what is being used here. Barbarian, non-Greek. They sounded funny to the Greek-speaking people because they couldn't understand the language. To the wise refers to the Greeks and means wise in terms of Greek education and culture. To the unwise refers to barbarians who did not possess the Greek education and culture. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 15. So or thus, As much as in me is, I am ready, suggests my desire. Paul's desire is to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Paul had preached the gospel on many other occasions to many other Gentiles. Now it was his desire to go to Rome and to preach the gospel to the unsaved Romans also. Now, I want to direct your attention to chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 24, where I want you to see that Paul desired that the church at Rome be a stopping point on his proposed journey to Spain. Romans 15, I said 24, I'll get to that. Let's start at verse 14 instead. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, because of my spiritual gift as an apostle to the Gentiles given to me by God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought or accomplished by me or through me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. That's good advice right there. We ought to be careful about taking credit where God's the one who needs to get the credit, all right? Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum. If you find that on a map, you'll find that Illyricum is a district located on the western side of Macedonia, northern Greece, across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. I have fully preached the gospel. Everywhere he's gone, he's preached the gospel. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. His goal was to preach the gospel to a people who had never heard of Christ, not to preach the gospel to people who had heard. So that's why he kept going and going and going, and now he wants to go farther. He wants to go to Spain. I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's a quote from the Old Testament. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now I've run out of places where I can go, where I haven't been or somebody else hasn't been. That's what he's driving at. For which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, no more place where I have or someone else has not already preached the gospel, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward, meaning there to Spain, by you. In other words, I want you to assist me in getting to Spain, if first I may be filled somewhat with your company, meaning that we may enjoy each other's company before I go on to Spain. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, that's northern and southern Greece, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. He's referring to the collection he's gathering from Gentile churches to aid the impoverished believers in Judea. They were financially poor. They were not poor Christians, okay? They were poor financially, but not poor believers. It hath pleased them verily, meaning the churches in northern and southern Greece, and their debtors they are. These Gentile believers were indebted to the Jewish believers for sending them the gospel. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, when I've delivered this collection to the impoverished saints in Judea and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. But a study of the book of Acts will show us that within the will of God, whose way is always perfect, things did not work out quite the way Paul was expecting or hoping. He would get to Rome, but it would be as a prisoner rather than as a free man. And it would not be as soon as he hoped. He says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea." Paul realized that he might face serious opposition in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of or by the saints. They were Jewish believers. Would they accept financial contributions from Gentiles? Good question. He didn't know when he wrote this. "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." So I ask, as we draw this to a close, have you been saved like the Roman believers had been? If not, you need to be. Let us help you with that. You can come speak with me after the service, or approach some other person here that would know how to be saved. Let us know that you'd like to talk about being saved. We'd be delighted to take time to show you. I ask you that are saved, have you given your life to Jesus Christ as Paul had done, so that you're concerned about your life being lived in the will of God? I can help you with this. Come talk to me after the service, or talk to somebody you know is living like this. Thank you for being a good, attentive group. I'm done. I'm early. Don't get used to it. Tonight might be a different story, but I do hope you'll all come back as we consider a passage in 1 Corinthians. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying thy word. Help us, help these dear saints to understand the text we've just gone through. Help them to learn it and to practice it in their lives. Help me to do the same. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.